Our next presenter is Dr. Glenn Steele, also known as Bubba, and he is here today to talk to us about the vision assessment. Is this on? The vision assessment and early peek into autism. Dr. Glenn Steele is a professor at the Southern College of Optometry in the pediatric service, emphasizing the vision care needs of the infant and child. A past president of both the College of Optometrists in Vision Development and the Optometric Extension Program Foundation, he is currently chair of the American Optometric Association Infant C Committee. He has lectured extensively throughout the USA and internationally in the area of infant vision development and care. Dr. Steele.
Thank you, Dr. Mary Ann. Look forward to the opportunity to talk about the other end of the spectrum that Denise was talking about, and some of the others. We've been talking about old people, now it's time to talk about young people. I guess the cell had sort of a big range of folks in there, but it's the same kind of thing at an earlier stage that Denise was talking about. I have no disclosures there, but when you look at the incidence of autism, a few years ago it was 1 in 1,500. Now they say it's 1 in 88 that has some sort somewhere on the autism spectrum. That is a significantly high number, and I think a lot of that is how it's defined. We think of the very involved patient with autism as the one who has autism, but that spectrum goes from really brilliant people, some people you might not even expect, to these heavily involved. But one of the primary characteristics is that's always been used is not making eye contact. And as I'm going through a lot of this, I've been challenged to do, I'm finding that's just one small part of it. There are so many more visual aspects in autism, but they're at the research level, not in the clinical level. And I'm a clinician, so what I'm looking for is let's bring that down to the clinical level where we can have an impact on patients every day. There's a lot of good information out there. And what I'm going to do is highlight several studies that have been done. Our results indicate that two-year-old children with autism, the behavior of looking in the eyes of others is already derailed. And so if that's happening by 2 years of age, it means obviously it's been going on prior to that time. So to find it earlier and earlier and earlier is so significant. There are many articles in psychiatric literature. Autism is a common developmental disorder, sure. Once children could only be diagnosed at the age of 3, now it's as early as 14 months. That was from that article in 2007. There's articles now that say as young as 6 months of age. And those are articles that say that, not just estimations. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends all children be screened by 2, but I'm not sure this is done on a regular basis. I think it's just a recommendation. But if we just think about the process of development, and that's where my background is in overall development, vision development, child development, if we think about the process of development, just hours old, the baby starts looking at mom's face. Yet, and in addition to that, there is another report of a father playing with his newborn baby, 45 minutes old, and started sticking his tongue out. Would stick his tongue out and stick his tongue out. And very shortly, the baby also would stick the tongue out, stick their tongue out, stick. So they use vision from almost the minute of birth to copy and imitate the actions of people. If they don't look, if they're not looking, if they're not visually engaged, then how do they copy those actions and activities? And it's so important. They showed babies between 2 and 5 days old, not 45 minutes old, but 2 and 5 days old. Showed them two photographs, one where the picture was looking directly at them, another the eyes were averted. The ones that showed no autistic risk at all always looked at the one with direct eye contact. The ones with risk for autism, it was hit and miss. They could just as easily look at the one and more than likely looked at the one that did not make eye contact. So these are the autistic warning signs from Baby Talk magazine, that really respected evidence-based journal. but if you look, these are what's presented to parents. And I will ask a question. How many of those have a visual link? And in my mind, almost all of them have a visual link. So, by 1 year of age, what can you use to determine that other than how the baby looks and how they engage visually with you? But now they're finding other kinds of things: pupillary reflex, blink reflex, gaze following, ocular motor function, choice of fixation object. Those are things we test every day in our practice. And I think it behooves us to really pay attention as early as possible to those actions. For instance, in pupil response, it sees what baby is interested in. Maybe measuring the size of the baby's pupils could be the same thing, do the same thing without needing necessarily two images. And what that means is the more engaged the baby is in that picture, the more the pupil is going to come down because they're accommodating more to that target. Participants with autistic spectrum disorder showed significantly longer pupil light reflex latency. Simply with a light reflex, that's something we do. We test pupils every day on every patient. At risk for autism spectrum disorder shows a latency once you put the light in front to the constriction of the pupil. Blink reflex. Whenever you're looking at a target, when you let go your engagement, generally you'll blink because the more intently you're looking at it, the more you inhibit blinking. Kids with autism spectrum disorder showed an earlier blink reflex didn't hold the blink inhibition for as long as normal kids did. So they blink more readily, indicating they've lost attention. In gaze development, that's something we always know that is a characteristic, a hallmark of autism, is they don't maintain eye contact. But the research there from developmental science shows that gaze behavior at 6 months may not provide early markers for autism as they originally thought, but it may be useful in predicting individual differences in language development, which is a part of that. Another article: deviant patterns of eye contact behavior are found in individuals with autism. Again, we know that. Typically developing children have the ability to detect direct gaze. Children with autism do not have the ability to detect direct gaze. So altered eye contact behavior again, and what do I mean by gaze following? Meltzoff has done a considerable amount of work in this area. And one of the things I found quite interesting was if the baby, by 12 months of age, looked at where the parent was looking and made a sound. In other words, they see where a parent is looking, and they look there, and they make a sound. By 18 months of age, they'll know 335 words, whereas babies who did not follow that by 12 months of age, follow the parent's gaze, only know that's our good Southern term, that's when we're tired, only knew 195 words. So there's a significant difference or link in language development, word knowledge, just simply by direct gaze and following the gaze. So low-risk groups were more likely to have normal social gazing. High-risk groups were likely to have self-initiated, socially directed delays in their gaze. Oculomotor function. Oculomotor now anomalies play a role as the root of impairments in later developing functional systems. But now authorities believe that subtle signs of autism spectrum disorder are present under 12 months of age, and eye tracking technology has been used to detect gaze patterns at progressively younger ages. And they watch the activities as they were doing that. Toddlers with autism spectrum disorder in comparison to control groups showed less attention to the activities of others and focused more on background objects. This is from videotaping of their activities. Toddlers with ASD looked less at people's heads and more at their bodies. So that suggests that monitoring of social activities in others is disrupted early in the developmental progression of autism. Fixation times on mouths and objects, but not on eyes, are a strong predictor of a degree of social competence. However, when the babies were not being engaged, those in the high-risk group spent far more time gazing at a toy that was part of the test than they did in the caregiver, whereas normal kids engage more with the caregiver. Typically, the developing toddlers had more difficulty disengaging visual attention from faces than toddlers with ASD. So it's they have more trouble engaging, they have more trouble sustaining that engagement, and they release much sooner than normal kids. So let's take it to the clinical level. We address these things in vision exams, but we don't always pay attention or pay as careful attention. History, ocular motility, eye health issues, including pupillary responses, and special emphasis on ocular motility in the development of looking patterns. And if you do suspect something, I'm not going to charge our optometrist to make a diagnosis of autism. I don't think that's appropriate. I do think it's appropriate to recognize the risk factors that are engaged and to follow that, to keep a short leash for follow-up. Because if you just say, normally we're going to see them in a year or whatever time frame we have, then you're just allowing that behavior to go on. And what do I mean by some of that? Get babies down on their tummy. Get them involved in moving, looking, and follow them. Play with them. Engage them whenever you're feeding. Engage them whenever you're changing. Look at them. Look at your baby. This is not effective tummy time. The baby laying down on his tummy looking around and dad playing on the phone. That's not effective tummy time. And in fact, mom now is on the computer and the baby's just looking up like she's looking for help, but she wants somebody to play with her. But parents don't do that as much. So I think we have to, at the very first, even with normal babies, communicate with them that it's important to engage their baby visually, look them in the eye, and develop that pattern of eye contact and engaging themselves in looking, the developing looking patterns. So that's the link to autism. That's my contact information. And if you have questions, I'll be around afterwards.
Thank you, Dr. Steele. So I just want to give another round of applause for all of our speakers. I think they did an outstanding job, and I want to thank them very much for being here this afternoon at this late hour and presenting to us. So thank you very much. Appreciate it. So we do have a little bit of time left if anyone has any questions. Are there any questions from the floor? Well, I have a question, Anna, for you. Well, I don't know whether it's for you or maybe for your colleague, but and if this is an appropriate question, I guess. Medication labels, is that something maybe, John?
Mm-hmm. They have a list of recommendations, and actually, if you look at the National Institute for Medicare, that sheet, things like asking your pharmacist,
Right, right.
And if you look at the medication Bible, at least when I have trouble reading.
Exactly, yes. Okay. Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you. I know that that question comes up often, and it's very important. Like you said, I know I can't even see the medication label very often myself, so without a magnifier. Oh my. Exactly, right. Right. Thank you very much for that. Anna, the materials that you discuss, is there a charge for those, and how do you access them? I'm sorry if you're repeating that, but.
www.nei.nih.gov/NEHEP, and there's the catalog, and they don't charge for the materials, they only charge for the shipping and handling.
Okay.
They would also, by request, you know, say, you email me and say, I have this special need of these materials, you know, we also send them, like, per request.
Okay, good, good. Any other questions anybody have any other questions? Okay, Bubba, I have another question for you. I had talked to you about this, I think, before, but so how do you get this whole, you know, this idea of autism and the idea that optometrists are looking, you know, doing these tests all the time. So how do you get it on their radar, on the optometrist's radar that, you know, besides just doing the tests as they normally do, but that a red flag should go up if this is not.
It's continuing education is a part of that. Autism is a scary word for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just optometrists, but I
right.
think the more we all get it on our radar, the better it will be to raise the awareness. And again, I think it's just sorting out, because when you think of autistic kids, you think of the just heavily involved. There's this whole spectrum, and some you're sitting in your chair and you don't even know it.
Right.
But by looking at some of these other things, you can begin to say, that's interesting, and then have a back for a shorter time frame.
Sure. Okay, thank you.
Continuing education on all fronts is the key.
That is the key. Thank you.
I would think that's going to depend upon somebody's personal approach to do that. I think if you have a child who you suspect is on the spectrum, when I say approach, I give patients something to do every visit, whether even if they're quote normal, because I know they're steps that I want them to be ready for. So I'm very comfortable saying, let's just do these things and I'm going to see you back in 3 months. And it would involve eye motility, fixation, and increasing gaze time and watching their behavior. And if it doesn't change, then that's when I start looking for my community resources.
Right.
To get involved. That doesn't mean I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing.
Right.
But
Dr. Riskalova, is there anything being done now, I guess, policy-wise, to mandate protective eyewear? Nothing. Will there be? Is Yes. I know my niece, oh, I'm sorry, my niece plays, well, she did in high school, played field hockey, and there was no protective eyewear, and she did get hit in the eye. Fortunately, it wasn't dangerous, and she was okay, but it just seemed odd to me that a sport like that would not have protective eyewear. Sure. Right. Thank you. You had a question. Oh, I'm sorry. My timer's going off. Sorry about that. Okay, I'm sorry. You had a question.
I come from a different field from here, and I'm aware of the literature that's growing in that area, suggesting associations, perhaps even predictive of dementia. So I'm curious, I wasn't quite sure I understood the visual acuity issue itself with dementia. I thought it also went hand in hand, but you were suggesting not, or
if there's 20, if it's now
Interesting. Are there any other questions? Well, if not, then I think that concludes our time here today. And again, I want to thank you very much for coming here. Thank you.